This is Meredith Sisko for the Ozark Hills. Sad to say, but I guess we've seen the last of the gardens for this year. And as this post falls a little too late for Halloween and way too early for snarky remarks about Black Friday and the Christmas decorations already on sale, I'm left to dream up my own topics. That's seldom a good idea because I'm old and I tend to wander off. So far, though, I've been able to find my way back, and that's just what I've done. Because even as I said the words, I knew in my very soul that we, or at least I, had not seen the last of the garden. Oh, sure, it froze to death last weekend, most of it anyway, but over by the driveway, in a sheltered spot, just lying in wait, there are a half dozen well-started broccoli plants, and some kale, several leeks, and other tiny assorted greens. And out in the corner of the garden, untouched because there was nothing there to freeze, is the little halfway assembled hoop house where next week the plastic will go on and it will be enclosed and the little plants and a few hundred seeds will take up residence for the winter months and into early spring. I just can't help it. The good news is that I'm not totally nuts. It's an addiction, sure. But there are reasons for it, and actually a scientific basis if you're one of those who, like me, prefer living in a reality-based universe. You may remember that sometime back, a year ago July, if you want to look it up in the KSMU archives, I spent a whole program talking about a new discovery by scientists who identified a specific soil microorganism, the ingestion of which, either by eating it along with a fresh dug carrot or by just getting it on your hands and then onto your mouth, had the documented effect of making us happier and smarter. So, I am happy to confess that I am addicted to dirt. I admit my sin, but that doesn't mean I wash my hands of it. It calls me. Some more years back, when I was also moved to confess that I was getting old, I cut the size of my garden by half. But in the part I abandoned, there was all this dirt, unused, empty. It was too sad. So I planted a few strawberries and then a few raspberries, and then somebody gave me some thornless blackberries, and then a nursery had this terrific buy on blueberries, and I filled up nearly all of it. This year, the only remaining unused part is being taken up by the hoop house. So, you see how it is. And that's not all. It's not just the dirt. In my very favorite of all his books, The Botany of Desire, author and gardener Michael Pollan writes about the addictive qualities of plants. Not just psychedelics, but plants we would never, never think of as addictive. It's not that they have properties that we come to crave, it's that they do it on purpose. Like the burdocks, it spreads its family by creating seed clusters that cling to your clothing and animal fur, and the dandelion makes little parasols on top of each seed so the wind will carry it. Some plants make we humans offers we can't refuse, so we will grow them and then tend them and harvest them and take special care to make sure they survive through the generations. The examples he uses are the potato, the apple, the tulip, and marijuana. Well, as for marijuana, that's kind of a duh. But potatoes? Let us not forget that potatoes became such a ubiquitous crop that a good bit of a nation's farmers died when a disease attacked the most widely grown variety in the Irish potato famine. And the craze for new colors of tulip strains caused people to spend millions on a single bulb until it was discovered that the disease that was killing the tulips was also the cause of the color variants. But then there's the apple. Johnny Appleseed. It's a great story for children, except most versions leave something out. In a nation on the frontier, beer deliveries are mighty scarce, and every culture finds a way to relax, divert their minds from the stress of the day, and just hang out for a bit. On the American frontier, that product was not applesauce. It was cider. Hard cider. Even in the little house on the prairie, the Ingalls family sat around the fire in the winter, reading, knitting, whittling, popping and eating popcorn, and sipping cider. Every last one of them. Far into the long winter evenings, and far beyond when the liquid in the cider barrel in the basement had begun to fizz and to turn. So, I'm addicted to dirt and to the plants that persuade me to grow them, and when I went up to Brighton to Gardener's Orchard last week to get my yearly half bushel of Jonathan apples to make applesauce, yes, I lugged home a gallon of cider. It's sweet right now, but what will it be like in February? I wonder. This is Meredith Sisco, celebrating the beginnings of a long and wonderful holiday season and wishing the same for you, whatever your traditions. And a fruitful harvest, of course.
Deep in the woods, in a long, cool valley where the water runs clear.
And you can keep up with Meredith Sisco on her website, meredithsisco.com, where you can find her stories, music, and pictures. You can also find her essays on These Ozarks Hills archived at ksmu.org.